Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, August the 4th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour, first Friday in the month of August. And you are tuned in to a very big Friday here on WWGH Talk for a lot of reasons. Now remember, we'll be on through 1 o'clock this afternoon and then back tonight from 8:15 until 10 p.m. And I am joined in the studio this morning and will be all morning this morning by one of our great pals here at WWGH Radio, Sean Kraft, bright and early here on a Friday morning. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
You're excited to be here for this five-hour whirlwind today, aren't you?
Yeah, breaking history.
Breaking history, and then you'll also be with us today from 10 to 11 with Matt Morgan.
Yep.
And then on Exchange Club with Pastor Craig and Matt and myself. So we'll have a real fight. We'll have a real knockdown drag out today from 12 to 1.
Absolutely.
Then also tonight, we should mention tonight on the Big Friday Night Show, we're actually breaking history tonight on the Friday Night Show from 8:15 to 9. We're going to have the biggest group we've ever had in the history of the Friday Night Show tonight because it's becoming the most popular show in radio. 8:15 to 10 p.m. tonight, we're going to have five people on that show. Now, obviously, they'll be me, they'll be you, they'll be Matt. Those are the regular hosts. But we will have two other people part of the Friday Night Show tonight that people are not going to want to miss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Five people.
Amazing.
Fighting for microphones tonight. It's going to be something. And as I've said before, I don't mean to say anything negative about anybody who's been on the Friday Night Show before, but the group now just works, and it's fun, and it's like a party every Friday night, and we all have a good time and laugh, and it's enjoyable. And you know, in the past that wasn't always the case because some of those people were not as talkative as maybe you'd like them to be, so it was a different kind of show. But now it's a real humdinger on Friday nights.
Yeah, that's right. It's
so
really fun.
So I look forward to Friday night. So that'll be going on tonight. And by the way, today we also have Jeff Dunham tickets, Mr. Puppet, for the Ohio State Fair, which is tonight. Jeff Dunham will be performing. We also have tickets to Lindsey Stirling, who will be at the Ohio State Fair tomorrow. And we have tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival, which is going on this weekend. So we'll be giving those away today. So that's also going on today, the end of our Ohio State Fair ticket giveaway and the beginning and end of our Dublin Irish Festival ticket giveaway. So there's all that going on. Oh, and the top 10 list. I feel so bad about this. We have top 10 lists galore because we have the two top 10 lists that Bob Welsh made for us for this week, Friday. He usually makes one for the morning and one for the night. We have those, but he also made a couple special top 10 lists for Wednesday when President Harding was here, but I forgot those. That was my fault. I got, you know, interested in President Harding, and he was talking a lot, and I didn't get to him. So we are going to get to some of those today as well. So we got a lot of top 10 lists, which that's entertaining. Yeah. So I think that's important. But the first thing we have to do before we get into anything else is mention a passing here at WGH Talk. And this is kind of a sentimental one. I learned yesterday of the passing of Dick Carey. Dick Carey passed away on Wednesday at the age of 91, a good old age for Dick Carey. Dick Carey is the former president of the Marion County Historical Society. He donated a lot of memorabilia to the Marion County Historical Society, and it's actually kind of interesting that this passing would happen this week for two reasons. Number one, Sean and I took a tour on Sunday of the Marion County Historical Society, getting ready for the Governor Celeste Mary Ellen interview on Monday, and Fred Malone was talking about Dick Carey that day. This is all the stuff that Dick Carey has, well, not all of it, but a good portion of the stuff that Dick Carey has donated to the Marion County Historical Society. So he was talking about that on Sunday, and then I thought about this. Dick died on Wednesday. Wednesday was the 100th anniversary of Harding's death. So he died on the same day that Harding did, 100 years later. And wow. being 91, you know, that's pretty close to 100 years.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that Dick Carey was on my show a lot is years ago, we all found out that he had a hand to play in the Lady Justice saga. And he had never talked about it. So I did the first interview years ago with Dick Carey talking about Lady Justice. And I remember when I was done talking to him about it, and this is back in the WMRN days, he said to me, I said, well, Dick, what do you expect to happen now that you've gotten this off your chest? And he said, well, I expect Sheriff Bailey to be out back with a patrol car to pick me up today. Well, of course, that was just a sense of humor that Dick Carey had. And then I also did the only interview that he and Charlie ever did together on the Lady Justice saga. And then the last time I had Dick Carey on was November 15th, 2021, which was the day before they were putting Lady Justice back on the courthouse after the renovations. So I thought it was interesting to have him on that day. So in honor of Dick Carey, who was a really nice guy and a really good friend and a good, just a nice person to me, I'm going to play a little bit of that interview, the late Dick Carey, on this station, November 15th, 2021. Go ahead and get him, Dick.
Yeah, and it's tomorrow as it goes back up. Is it sentimental for you to think about it?
Yes, it is. Of course, I'm 89, be 90 next year, and at this point in my life, I just lost my brother about 2 weeks ago. Mm. So the reality of life is foremost in my mind, and yes, I think about it.
As that goes back up tomorrow, what do you think you'll be filled with? Well, what emotion do you think will hit you?
I will be happy that she's back in place. It's it's a symbol of justice.
In Marion history now, it has become maybe even more than that. You know, people wrote essays on it back in 1980, and in the press releases that came out when it was going to be restored, it's always mentioned that it was taken and that it was returned, and people research it. It's become one of those things in Marion, like Gypsy Queen and the Merchant Ball.
Yeah.
That's here forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you like to see happen? Is there anything with Lady Justice that you would like to see happen in the years to come?
Oh, golly, I hadn't given that much of any thought. Does she remain atop the courthouse primarily?
Do you have anything memorabilia of her left? Did you keep anything?
I didn't, but my son, a few years ago, when we took her down from the loft in the barn, there was a piece of her hair, her head, that had broken off and was laying there at some point. And my son found it a few years ago, and he went to the trophy shop and got a plaque and mounted it on it and give it to me.
Oh, that's nice.
So I've got a keepsake.
Absolutely, as well you should. You know, it's interesting, Dick. I didn't think about this till this morning, but as you said, in 52 when you took it, obviously you wouldn't want people to know at that point that you did it. In 80, when it went back up, you still did not want people to know that you took it. Tomorrow will be the first time at 89 years of age that you can stand down there and be the guy who took the statue in 1950, and everybody can be aware of it. Is that meaningful in any way, to not have to stand in the back?
Well, yes, it is. And like I said before, there are those who say he should have been prosecuted, and there are those who say no. It's okay the way it is. It turned out great.
You know, for somebody who's highly interested in Marion history, why do you think this story appeals so to people?
Well, partially probably because the mystery of it for so many years, like who, what, where, you know.
Were there ever any leads in that 28 years? Did anybody ever, did anything ever appear in the paper that you remember that somebody had this?
Nothing I ever recall appeared in the paper. Like I said, there were some friends that knew, and my children kind of knew, but no, nothing that I ever recall of.
It's interesting that it had sort of been, I guess, forgotten on all accounts. Yeah.
As time
goes on, I guess. Did it seem like 28 years that you had her? That's a long period of time.
No.
No. Was it a relief when you were able to turn her over to Charlie in the courthouse again?
Yes, it was. It was, and I thought, this is what it's all about.
Yeah. And when you drive by and see her up there, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, she's back.
She's back. Now, and this all started with a prank.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there were the two other gentlemen. Now, they were there that day, just to make it clear, right? When you took the Lady Justice?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Shorty. I don't know if you knew Shorty.
I met him a couple times.
He's a racehorse man. Yeah. Short guy. That's why they called him Shorty. We parked the van on the east side of the courthouse. At that time, there was a passage, a hallway, on the south side of the courthouse with a door at each end. You went in there, and then you could go into the courthouse. Well, she was laying in there on the floor. So we pulled the van up after we'd cased the place out like a bank robber.
So there was thought given to this.
So we pulled up there. We didn't see any law officials. We pulled up there and parked. And Shorty's job was to open the doors and open the doors on the van. And George and I picked her up and carried her out, shoved her in. I'd put straw on the floor of the van so she could rest on that. And we shut the doors and zoomed out of there. And, of course, we were very nervous. Looked, and there was no law, no one following us, so we drove out of town.
Now, as your story, you were not married yet.
No.
To your wife. When she became aware of this, did she have anything to say about it?
I don't recall that we ever talked about it. We probably did, but I don't recall any specific conversation.
You said there were people in circles who knew about it, friends of yours. How did they become aware of it?
I guess I told
them. You told them. Well, it's an interesting thing, as I have said, and it's very fascinating that it continues to go on all these years later. Do you have a favorite part of Marian history yourself?
A favorite part? No, I can't. I can't think of anything. I've collected. I joined the Historical Society at its founding and have been a member ever since. I started collecting Marion County historical memorabilia in about 72, I believe it was, and I still occasionally buy an item, not much, but it became an obsession. I have given literally thousands and thousands of pieces of historic memorabilia to the Historical Society. Randy Williams, Randy Winland, has been coming out every week or two, and we go through, bring down from the attic a box go through it, appraise it, fair market value, and then I donate it. And so far, it's added up to over $60,000 of value of historical memorabilia. This covers industry people, presidents, you name it. So I've been very happy to do that, which fits in with the saving of Lady Justice.
You know, I think back to this day when you pulled Charlie aside and told him that you had it. Now, at that point, him being a media personality, were you sure that he was not going to go to any law enforcement and spill the beans?
He gave me his word.
That he would not. Was he okay with the story? Because I think he had to go out and kind of sell that story to the Bar Association.
He probably did.
Yeah. And he was okay with all of that.
As far as I know, he was. He never said anything different.
Never said otherwise. Well, all these years, the 30 years that went by, when you would see Charlie, would you ever discuss this?
Oh, I suppose we have a little.
Yeah.
Bound to a little.
Who do you see as the important people involved in this event that started in 1952 and wrapped up in 1980? Who are the important figures that we should remember who were involved?
Well, Charlie was definitely one.
Right.
I can't say who else right offhand.
What about, if Maxine hasn't called, Maxine Neff, I think she probably played a part.
Yes, although I never met the lady.
Yeah, I wonder what drove her to call in that morning. That'd be interesting to know.
She maybe had some information that somebody had given her. I don't know.
Do you know who called Charlie that morning off the air and said, look in the book and you'll find out who took it?
No, I have no idea. That's a good curiosity to me.
Yeah, I wonder who did that.
And I'm not sure which book, which picture.
Yeah. A historical society picture, but Charlie says they even said count the heads and you'll be able to figure this one out. And it was a mystery for a long time and very, very, very fascinating and a great part of Marion history. And again, Lady Justice will go back up on the Marion County Courthouse tomorrow at 8 a.m. Now, 5 minutes
weather
left.
Weather permitting.
You got, yeah, we better all stay tuned to that.
Dick Carey on this show back on November 15th, 2021. And again, if you are just tuning in, Dick Carey passed away on Wednesday at the age of 91. Dick, we'll miss you. Always a good guy. Any remembrances after hearing Dick Carey there recount the story of Lady Justice?
I'm glad he got with Charlie on it. You know, Charlie would probably be the best person to go to.
You know, I don't know at that time who was... I don't know. I think it just happened the way it happened. And it got put back up there, and I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Yeah.
And you know, he was not prosecuted, and it's a great story in Marion history, I think.
I thought it was very interesting. They just backed the van up. And...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very, very fascinating. Now, does anybody have anything to say about this? You can give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. I got to make sure I get that number right. 740-383-9944. The passing of Dick Carey at the age of 91 on Wednesday. Interesting, though, to me that he died on the same day as President Harding, and we had just been at the Historical Society on Sunday discussing Dick Carey and his part in the Historical Society. He always was a good guest. He didn't really hold anything back in later years, but boy, that remained a mystery for a long, long time, because he returned it in 1980, but it was in the 2000s when he finally admitted that he was the one who had taken it. He didn't admit it back in 1980.
Wow.
That stayed hidden for about another 25 years, till I did the interview with him.
Really?
Yeah, in the mid-2000s. So, Dick Carey, we'll miss you, 91 years old. But a great long life, so good for him. And again, he did a lot of stuff with the Marion County Historical Society. What was it, $60,000 in things he's donated to them, and he put a lot of time in there as the president of the Marion County Historical Society. So he just did a lot of good, and we'll miss Dick Carey. Now, to President Harding, because this has been a big week for President Harding, and I haven't gotten your thoughts on this. What did you make of the lack of any celebration of the centennial of the death of President Harding this week? Nothing ran in the newspaper on it. We talked with Jack Kellogg about this last night. Jack Kellogg was in the studio. Brought a lot of Harding memorabilia last night. Why do you think it passed without much to do with the newspaper that he created?
I don't know. I think it's lack of personnel, lack of knowledge, laziness, a little bit of everything, I think, wrapped up in one. But I think it's sad because, you know, we have this beautiful home down the road and the museum that they built, you know. I don't know who's responsible for lack of intelligence.
Well, and also, why was the wreath laid on July the 15th?
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either.
And Mayor Kellogg was even telling us last night he didn't know that the wreath, and he had laid the wreath in the past.
Which, I wonder whose idea that was. Who's in charge of that wreath?
I don't know. I would assume somebody at the Harding home. Oh, well, I would guess.
Shame on them, because they should have did it on the day.
August the 2nd, you would think. But it didn't happen that way, so that's the way that cookie crumbles. Now, there's an interesting story out this morning, which I think is kind of fascinating. I don't know who either one of these people is, but have you ever seen a show called Scenes from a Marriage? Apparently, it was a big popular show. I don't know if it was on Netflix or something like that. But it stars Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac.
I don't know who those people
are. I don't know who they are either. But here's the story. Apparently, Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac were friends before they started filming this series, Scenes from a Marriage. And after it, apparently, Jessica Chastain has said things are just not the same anymore. That they are not friendly anymore, that working together, and because they had to be so close. There were a lot of scenes with love, a lot of scenes with hate, because I think they played a married couple. I really did not see the thing. That now they cannot be friends anymore. It did change the relationship. So what does that tell you?
That just tells you, you know, you could be friends, but when you play close relation, you know, close, it just doesn't work out at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a TV show. It's not even a real thing.
A lot of people take it as real, though.
Yeah, but I will say something. I did see a lot of press for this, where they are very, very close. Like, he's kissing her arm, and I don't know if a relationship sparked up out of this. I don't know. She doesn't say that, but she said the friendship is not the same, and that they might have to take a break from each other.
Yeah. I think that's probably a lot of it is, you know, you can't be friends with certain, you know, in certain movies. Because I'm sure some of these actors out in Hollywood, they don't go out there and hang out, you know.
No, but what's interesting is she says they were friends before it. That they, going into it, they were friends.
Yeah. That probably broke it, because maybe the attraction was there all along, but then...
Well, but can it be that once you get to know somebody, even if it's your friend, you realize that maybe this is somebody you don't want to be friends with? When you get to see them every day, every day, every day, it kind of wears out. I've had that happen.
It was a bomb.
Well, I'm just saying there are certain people, when you're with them over a period of time, that eventually you realize that...
the true person.
Well, you find out who people really are, and you find out how they act when they're not just around you. You find out how they treat other people, you find out how they are in their private life, you find out how they handle circumstances, you find out what they really want in life, and they become not so appealing to you anymore.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, you know, that could definitely ruin a relationship, playing a, because you're not really married. That could put wear and tear on your relationship.
But some people you can remain friends with all through your life.
Yeah, just don't play a married couple.
I just don't understand. I mean, I can't imagine being on a set. I think it had more to do with the love-hate, you know, relationships. It wasn't so much about the intimate relationships that they had to play, because you've got cameramen there and directors and all that, and I don't think that had anything to do with it. But I think when you have to yell at each other and you have to pretend like you love each other, I think that might do more damage than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, there's another interesting story out today. And it comes to IQ. Now, when you're in a marriage or relationship with each other, should you have similar IQs? If one person is extremely smart and one person is extremely not, can that relationship work out?
I think so. It'd be a hard. It'd probably be hard if you're not on the same page all the time.
Well, the study says no.
Oh, really?
Says it's not going to work out because you're not going to have similar interests, because the not-so-smart person is not going to get what the smarter person is talking about.
Uh-huh.
And they're always going to feel less.
I kind of agree with that, to be honest with you. That's probably right. I mean, because the most intelligent person sometimes talks down to people. And
now, see, I never have understood that. We can go through this all day long. What does talking down mean? Just because you're intelligent, what does talking down mean?
Well, you're not talking to the person's other level that is not as intelligent as you are. You have to drop it down to the level.
Yeah, but how do you know how intelligent they are on a particular subject?
Well, you don't. But if you know them pretty well, you would know.
I don't think you do. Like one day, let's say you start talking about gardening. Well, you don't really know how much they know about gardening, and you don't know how much you know about gardening, so you kind of have to have a conversation about it. Or let's say you talk about presidents. You don't really know how much they know until you ask them.
Well, if we're talking about IQ, more likely are not going to know as much as you are about every subject. Because people that with a high IQ usually pretty well knows a lot of different things.
Yeah, but what are you supposed to say to them? To not talk down to them.
talk in their level. Talking like if you're talking about gardening, don't go into talk about stuff that they don't know. Talk about hey, this is about how to start a garden. You know, this is what I learned. Don't just throw out your syllables that people don't understand.
Well, but isn't...
That's what a lot of people do.
Yeah, but shouldn't the person who is less astute want to learn those words, want to maybe get out of the hole that they're in?
But I think when you're first talking about it, I don't think it's a good idea to throw all that out at that person.
Yeah, but you know what? I've been around people who will say, I'm not very smart. And I think to myself, well, you're putting yourself down there already. How can I put you down when you're putting yourself down?
Yeah.
That's just true. Low self-esteem.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of low self-esteem. I have that sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not talking about you here, but I mean, I have heard a lot of people say that. They'll say, I'm not very smart. I'm not as smart as you. I don't, what does that word mean? I think that's great when people ask that. That to me is wanting to get knowledge. But some people put themselves down all the time. I'm just not that smart. I'm just not that smart. Well, that's low self-esteem, and low self-esteem will get you in trouble in a lot of areas of life.
Oh, yeah, it can. It can put a toll on your body for sure. That's number one.
Well, if you don't think you're good enough... You know, this comes to the whole thing of people wanting to be taken care of, which we've had long conversations about that. If you have low self-esteem and you don't believe you're really smart enough and you don't believe you can handle it, you will fall into a false sense of security that if somebody comes along who's willing to take care of you, you'll go along with that because you don't think you can do it on your own. Subconsciously, you don't think you're smart enough.
Yeah. That's true. I mean... And there's a lot of people out there who will take advantage of it, too.
Well, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
And I have been around some people, and not that I'm the smartest person in the world, I'm not saying that at all, but I have been around some people who were not very astute at all about anything, and that can be trying, because they don't care to learn anything.
Yeah. Which is not good, because you have to learn every day. I mean, when you wake up every day, you learn something new.
Well, it seems like their driver to me always is money. I have found that about people who really don't want to learn anything and will refer to themselves as not very smart, that really what they want, really what they're saying is if the money's rolling in or they're getting money, then life is okay.
You know, as you know, I found out the hard way. I mean, not hard way. I mean, as the situation I'm in right now. You know, I worked a lot of years at my previous job. And I'm more thinking about it, you know. I don't want that anymore.
You don't want what?
I don't care about money.
Well, that's good.
I was sitting there thinking about, you know, it put a lot of toll on me to try to get that kind of money coming in every month. You know? And I don't need it anymore.
And at what cost? What relationships and friendships do you have to sacrifice? Health? What do you end up putting up with because the money's coming in? And you say, well, okay, the money's coming in, so I'm willing to put up with this.
Yeah.
I don't think people ever get that.
No.
But, you know, I just don't like when people refer to themselves as dumb. I don't think anybody is dumb. I think people know certain things about certain different areas. But if you're... I tell you, the only thing dumb about that is you referring to yourself as dumb. But why would you do that?
Right. You shouldn't do that because it puts a lot of stress on your body when you telling yourself, I'm dumb, I'm dumb, I'm dumb. I mean, I'm not the smartest cookie in the cookie jar. But you know what? You know, I know from right from wrong. I know when people are duping me, you know. So
there's a lot of that going on.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of dupes out there in the world today. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, to the degree that money drives people, and it takes a long time to learn that sometimes.
It does. It took me 16 years.
Well, it takes a long time, and by the time it happens, sometimes it's too late.
Yeah.
So if money is not the love of your life, what is the love? What keeps you going? What's the reason to get up in the morning?
Well, that's very hard because right here lately it's hard for me to get out of bed because of depression and stuff, you know. But I've been trying to put that to the side, and my biggest accomplishment is I've been thinking that I just want to make the best of my life that I have left, you know, because I have a lot of health issues, and you never know. I mean, I could pass away in this chair.
I hope not.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, what I'm saying, you know, I mean,
we don't need that kind of a drag on the morning for somebody to die in the chair.
Exactly.
Then we'll have to get the obituary ready and run it. That'd be a whole thing.
Adam have to be like, Sean died at the station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that peacefully? Would we say peacefully died in the chair at the station? I don't know if you say that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I just think I have learned more in the last year that people are driven by money. And the fascinating thing is that people don't know that they're being driven by money, but it's very clear to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, of course you don't think you're being driven by money, because if you did think that, you wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
But you are in the end. And I mean, it's fine if that works for you, but I don't think it's going to work forever.
No, it doesn't work forever. You know, it's good to have a good nest egg to cover your bills and all that. But to sacrifice your health that I was doing.
Well, to sacrifice your friendships, to sacrifice your relationships with people, to sacrifice your personality, sometimes time with kids, because you're all whipped up into this Money is the most important thing, and money buys happiness. Money does not buy happiness.
It doesn't. It sure doesn't. It makes you. It makes you. Not feel well sometimes.
Well, I think it's a shallow person that will go that route, and if you are shallow, that's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's a story on that. But what should we do for poor Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain, who are now not friends, taking a break from their friendship because of this movie, Scenes from a Marriage?
Well, I mean, eventually they just need to stay away from each other for a while and maybe just build their relationship back up again.
Well, I don't know if she wants to. I think she says it'll never be the same as her.
Maybe because she's truly in love with him and he's not in love with her.
I don't know if love really has anything to do with this. I just think they saw too much of each other and they realized, you know, when you're friends with somebody, a lot of times you don't see them a whole lot. But when they had to work together on this film, it really came out.
You definitely have to have what they call it, chemistry. And maybe the chemistry kind of broke up, kind of broken. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe, like you said, they saw each other way too much in the studio and it just crunched their relationship.
So do you think they can fix it?
I'm not sure. I'll have to research and see exactly.
Will they ever be able to see each other again?
I don't know. It depends on the girl. I mean, it's mostly the girl that makes it, most of the time. If they,
you know. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be her or him or who's making the decision. But, you know, he might not be very happy with her now for acting this way.
Probably. So it's going down the hole. The movie.
The movie did well.
Oh, it did well.
The movie did great.
So it's but they're not doing it anymore.
No, I don't think so. And it's just terrible that friendship had to be sacrificed. Because a lot of times, and again, we don't know if they were in a relationship or not. We really don't know. But a lot of times going into something like this, if you are friends, you start out that way. And it's sad that you lose that. Because of whatever happened during this film, that now you don't have this friend. You can't call on them. You can't ask them things. And sometimes friends are a very important asset to have in life.
That reminds me of my stepsister used to watch Dawson's Creek. Remember that movie or TV show?
I don't think I ever saw it, but I remember the name.
Yeah, it was a girl show, I believe. But she was telling me, and I was I done that research because I knew some of the characters. Katie Holmes was in it. And did some research. So similarly, that's what some of those people don't talk to each other anymore after they taped that. And that was based on a friendship basis. And I was researching on that, and it's pretty interesting. You have to check it out sometime. Yeah, half of the people don't even talk to each other anymore over that since they've been friends. Because it was based on a friendship.
Well, why do you think when something ends, a relationship or a friendship, which we don't know which either one of these are, a lot of times you feel you have to cut that person totally out of your life? Here they are in your life every day, every day, every day, every day, and then all of a sudden, boop, you cannot have anything to do with them ever again.
I think it's just more of a...
low IQ?
Yeah, well, it could be
a low IQ on their behalf.
Or, you know, sometimes you just can't stand the person anymore. You just got to move on.
Do you really think that happens, though? I mean, do you really think that after being around somebody all the time that you can't stand them? I don't know if that... I think what's
maybe
really...
Maybe just take a break.
I think what happens is... Because you certainly don't have to be around them all the time again. I think people just put all their energy and effort into what they're doing then, which again is a mistake.
Yeah. My problem is I always try to make people happy. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I decided, I was sitting here thinking, yeah, I'm going to be cordial. I'm going to be nice to people. But I'm not going to put all my eggs in one basket. Because you have to pick your friends wisely these days. Because people will take the shirt off your back. If, you know what I mean? I found that out. I had, you know, people use me and abuse me.
You know, I'll tell you something interesting. I have a friend, and I'm not going to say her name, but she's been in several relationships in her life, long-term relationships, and to my understanding, all except one, she still has good relationships with these past people. And even though she's in a relationship now, she has she'll talk to them, and she talks to other people.
Well, that's some of your relationships. Some of yours. You
well, yeah, them. Yeah. I don't have any problem talking to them because I don't have any feeling for them anymore other than friendship. So it's okay. I don't have to not talk to them. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe that people say, well, I just can't stand to be around you anymore.
After
I don't think that's...
After you were dating and everything.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true at all. I think that's a bunch of malarkey.
Right.
I think that what you really are is you're hurt and you don't want to be around them because it hurts you to see them with somebody else and moving on because you think you're the end-all be-all.
So it's like Pastor Craig. Pastor Craig talks to his ex-wife again.
Well, you can bring that up to him again today if you like. He'll be here today. But so, no, to me, that's always been the point. I don't want to be around the person anymore, so I can talk to him. I can be around him. I can see him. It's fine. But some people can't do that because I think they are still... I'm not saying that they want to be with that person, but it's hurtful to them. They can't chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. Let's put it that way.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, because you know, I've made fun of the girl that I was engaged to quite a bit on this station. Not of the girl, the situation.
Who was that you was engaged to?
Well, I don't bring that up because I don't think bringing up their name helps any. But you know, that I did not know I was engaged, which is absolutely true. But I still have an okay relationship with her. I mean, we don't hang out, but I see her at places.
Are you guys going to go sit on a movie or anything like
that? No. It's not like that anymore. But I certainly, when I see her, I talk to her. She'll send me messages when somebody, like if somebody would die that I would know, she would send me condolences on it. She's asked my advice on things as the years have gone by. You know, we don't have a bad relationship at all.
That's good.
So that's I don't understand how that even becomes a thing.
Right.
I think people just have to be a little more mature and they have to be able to handle things in a mature way. But you know what? We're almost done with the first hour. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with Pastor Whitaker and what I'm sure will be a great conversation. And Sean will rejoin us this morning at 10 a.m. and Matt Morgan will be here. And the morning's going to be great this morning here on WGH Talk. We're going to break and come back with much more here on this station. Don't you dare flip that dial. Jeff Dunham tickets coming up later on this morning.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio.